Yeah. This morning, we wanted to try to give Jeff a break too and rest his voice a little bit. So I was going to lead the hymns, and Harriet and I were practicing, and Jeff was listening, and all of a sudden he kind of looks and he says, "Would you like me to lead?" And I thought, yes, yes, and more yes. Now, I'm a pretty good follower, but I am not really a good leader. But when he's leading, I can follow. Well, I hit the notes and et cetera, but it was just a little more stress than I wanted this morning anyway, but that's okay. And thank you, Joy, for bringing me some water. Most of you have been here throughout 2017, and you've been blessed with good sermons, great teaching. But you know, I think we come to a point sometimes where we need to respond to a new commitment to trust God and to trust Him in all circumstances. We need to have a new refocusing on our life in Christ. And what better time than right now in the midst of all the firestorms and the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey to get our hearts, minds, and spirits prepared for whatever the world might throw at us. A time to get prepared for storms that can come our way. If you have your Bibles, please open to Acts 27 in verse 1. And I'll be reading from the ESV. This is a story of Paul's journey to Rome after the trial with King Agrippa. The story deals with a tempestuous journey through storms and shipwreck on the island of Malta. It's a story that parallels our storms in life, our need to trust God in all situations and His faithfulness. It also illustrates how He can use us if we trust Him when we're in the storm to show His glory and further His kingdom. And when it was decided that we should sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius. And embarking in a ship of Adramyttium, which was about to sail to the ports along the coast of Asia, we put to sea, accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica. The next day we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him leave to go to his friends and be cared for. And putting out to sea from there, we sailed under the lee of Cyprus, because the winds were against us. And when we had sailed across the open sea along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra in Lycia. There the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing for Italy and put us on board. We sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus. And as the wind did not allow us to go farther, we sailed under the lee of Crete under Salmone. Coasting along it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, which is near the city of Lycia. Since much time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous because the fast was over, Paul advised them, saying, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but of our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than what Paul said. And because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there on the chance that somehow we could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete. Facing both southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. Now when the south wind blew gently, supposing they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete close to the shore. But soon a tempestuous wind called a northeaster struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, We gave way to it and were driven along, running under the lee of a small island called Clauda. We managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. After hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. And then, fearing they would run aground on the Syrtis, they lowered the gear and thus were driven along. Since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. This passage of Acts reveals four very important questions. Number one, can I trust God even when my life gets stormy? Can I trust Him even when things go unexpectedly wrong? And can I trust Him when my situation is so discouraging that I see no way out? And will I trust Him even when things seem hopeless? That was the situation on board the boat headed for Phoenix. The storm was raging, the wind was blowing, the rain was pouring down, and in spite of the best efforts of the crew, the boat was being battered and beaten by the storm. And the morale of the 276 people on board sank to an all-time low. The Bible says in verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was abandoned. You see, I think we all have moments when we feel just as battered and beaten and discouraged as the people on that ship. Perhaps there's a storm brewing in your life right now. Maybe it's your health. Maybe things are going wrong and you don't feel like there's hope at all. Or maybe there's another type of storm brewing in your house. Maybe it's a stormy relationship over finances. You feel like throwing up your hands in frustration. You feel like giving up. Or maybe you feel battered and storm-tossed and have no idea why you feel that way. You can't seem to put a finger on it. All you know is that you feel despair, discouragement, hopelessness, and things just seem so bleak, you don't know if there's a way out. The good news is that in the middle of our own personal storm, God gives us a word of hope, a message of encouragement, as in verses 22 through 25, when Paul said to the people, "Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I worship. And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you and all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on some island.'" You know, in other words, Paul was saying, God said it, I believe it, and it will come to pass. We might never receive a message of hope from the mouth of an angel, but I have here in my hand a message of hope for all of mankind. The Bible. A message of hope for a storm-tossed world. A message of hope for people who have lost hope. Isaiah 41:10 to me is one of those scriptures that just really shows the hope we have. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And in Isaiah 43, verse 2, it says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And though the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." God is not missing in action. And especially when our lives are really stormy, God's here, encouraging us, helping us, orchestrating every situation, every circumstance, in accordance with His perfect will. Nothing happens that God is not sovereign over and that He is not aware of. You see, Paul had a word from God to help him through the storm, and so do we. I want to share with you one of those stories. It's a story I read in Max Lucado's book, The Applause of Heaven. We have prayed for healing. God has not given it, but He has blessed us. Glenn spoke slowly, partly because of her conviction, but partly because of her disease. Her husband Don sat in the chair next to her. The three of us had come together to plan a funeral, hers. And now with that task done and the hymns selected and the directions given, Glenn spoke. He has given us strength we did not know before. He gave it when we needed it and not before. Her words were slurred but clear. Her eyes were moist but confident. I wondered what it would be like to have my life taken from me at age 45. I wondered what it would be like to say goodbye to my children and my spouse. I wondered what it would be like to witness my own death. God has given us peace in our pain. He covers us all the time. Even when we're out of control, He's still there. It had been a year since Glenn and Dawn had learned of Glenn's condition. Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. We all know it as Lou Gehrig's disease. The cause and the cure remain a mystery, but the result doesn't. Muscle strength and mobility steadily deteriorate, leaving only the mind and faith. And it was the coming together of Glenn's mind and faith that caused me to realize I was doing more than planning a funeral. I was beholding holy jewels that she had quarried out of the mine of despair. We can use any tragedy as a stumbling block or a stepping stone. I hope this will not cause my family to be bitter. I hope I can be an example that God is wanting us to trust in the good times and the bad. For if we don't trust when times are tough, we don't trust at all. Don held her hand and he wiped her tears and then he wiped his own. Who are these two? I asked myself as I watched him touch a tissue to her cheek. Who are these who on the edge of life's river can look across with such faith? The moment was solemn and sweet, and I said little. One is not bold in the presence of the sacred. I got through that the first time I had read that story and thought it would be inappropriate for the scripture. I sat and bawled like a little kid. The scriptures gave them a tremendous amount of hope. At a time in their lives when I think it would have been easy to lose hope. You might ask, where is my hope when I feel hopeless? Where is my encouragement when I feel discouraged? Where is my help when it seems that I have no help? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it's right here in the precious words and promises of God. God gives us a message of hope for any storm. And He also gives us a ministry in the midst of the storm. Paul was able to have a ministry to the people on the boat when, if the weather had been good, they never would have had that ministry. Back in verse 10, when Paul tried to warn them about the weather, the people weren't interested in what he had to say. He was just another prisoner. Boy, in verse 21, when the storm was raging and the people were losing heart, Paul spoke up and everyone was all ears. You see, God uses storms in our lives to get our attention, to make us more receptive to His Word. Chuck Colson never showed any interest in Christianity when he was working for President Nixon, but as soon as he got sent to jail, as soon as his life fell apart, he became more open to the truth of God than he had ever been before. You see, God was using that storm in his life. Here are five different storms that affect people today and make them more open to divine influence. The first storm is disease. When we or someone we love has a life-threatening disease, we become more receptive to the one who has the power over that disease. When the drugs aren't working and the prescriptions keep coming and the bills start accumulating, most of us start looking at the four walls of the hospital, and we start looking then to the most powerful physician of them all. Another storm that hits people today is the loss of a spouse through divorce. Nobody goes into a marriage thinking they're going to divorce, but sometimes it happens. And the pain is so real that people are often more open to spiritual healing than they've ever been before. The Bible says in Psalm 34:18 that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. A third storm that hits people is disaster. When Ladysmith, Wisconsin was devastated by a tornado in 2002, the town really turned to the Lord. When the Baptist church got destroyed, the Lutheran church gave them a bunch of hymnals. People came from out of town in any way they could, just like we're seeing in Houston right now. People coming from miles away, dragging their boats, their time, their money, their gas, to help be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. There were signs all over that town that had Bible verses on them, and the signs said thank you, just like the ones we're seeing all around Lolo for the firefighters. Now, disasters are terrible. I don't wish them on anybody, but they're also an open door for people to show the love of God, to be the hands and feet of Christ. A fourth storm that hits people is depression. We don't always know why people get depressed. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah got depressed just from being burned out on life. But when people are discouraged, they sometimes become more open to the one who can give them encouragement. When people get deeply depressed, they're usually more open to God than ever. And God uses and can use that storm in their life. A fifth storm that affects people is health, or today is death. Death can be one of the most traumatic things that can happen to a family. But it's also a time when people are ready to hear from the Lord. I mean, that's one reason why Jeff and I and a lot of pastors don't mind doing a funeral or a memorial service. For some people, it's the only time in their life when they might be receptive to the Word of God. There's this 45-minute window, okay, in that service where we can speak a comforting word to the storm in their life. My prayer is that you and I would become more sensitive to the storms that are stirring in people's lives. We need to let people know that even when there's nothing we can do except pray, that there's something God can do, that God cares about their stormy circumstances. You know, there's a chorus in a song called "The Anchor Holds," and it goes like this. The anchor holds though the ship's been battered. The anchor holds though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face life's raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Not only does God give us a message of hope for the storm and a ministry for the storm, but sometimes He gives us a purpose for the storm. When the storm first started, Paul might have been thinking, why is this happening, Lord? I thought you wanted me to testify before the emperor in Rome. I thought you wanted me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in the highest court of the land. But in chapters 27 and 28, excuse me, as Paul Harvey would say, we get the rest of the story. The boat ended up on the island of Malta, way on the other side of the Mediterranean Sea. And Paul was able to minister the Lord's healing power to a people who had never experienced it before. And for the next 3 months, Paul was able to share the message of this new life. In Acts 28:8, Paul met the chief official of the island and ministered the power of the Lord to his father. If it weren't for the storm and the shipwreck, the people on the island of Malta might never have had a chance to experience the healing power, the power of Jesus Christ. You see, we don't always realize it at the time, but there's a reason for everything that happens under heaven. There's a reason why we experience what we experience. And like Paul, we can have faith that in all things, God works for good for those who love Him. Joy and I often read our daily bread in morning devotions. And there was a story about a Sunday school teacher who gave each of his students in the class a New Testament. And then he encouraged them each to write their name inside the front cover. Several weeks later, after inviting the boys to receive Christ as their Savior, he asked those who had done so to write these words under his or her name. I accept Jesus. But one boy scribbled instead, I expect Jesus. The teacher says, now why did you write I expect Jesus? And the boy said, not only do I accept the Lord for my salvation, but I expect Jesus to be with me every day of my life and do everything He promised me. That's the kind of faith Paul had. He expected God to be there for him. He expected God to keep His word. He had faith that God could get him through every storm in life. How do I know that? Well, 2 Timothy 4:18 says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. My message to you is that you can trust God when your life gets stormy. You can trust God when things go unexpectedly wrong, and you can trust God when everything seems to be hopeless. See, I pray that you would be respective to His love and that you would allow Him to still all the storms in your life. We have a friend in North Richland Hills, Texas, just north of Fort Worth. And he had sent me an email, and in that email he had given me this little piece of a verse. It says, if God brings you to it, He will bring you through it. In happy moments, praise God. In difficult moments, seek God. Quiet moments, worship God. Painful moments, trust God. But every moment, thank God. Jeff.
Thank you, Chuck. Let's stand this morning. Sing one more wonderful hymn. Before we do that, I just want to remind you that we have prayer teams available after the service. And so if there's something that, whether it's from a song or whether it's from Chuck's message that has hit you today, something you want to have someone pray with you or for you about, please come on up after the service. There will be people up here ready, willing, and able to listen and to pray with you about those things. So let's close our service with It Is Well With My Soul. don't have words, but you guys know it. There we go. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Here comes those afflictions. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. There will come a day when Jesus will return, and all of the trials that we go through in this life will be made right. Let's sing about that day. Oh Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul.
Oh Father, we give you praise and we give you honor. You bring us through the trials and through the storms of life. And thank you, God, that your word shows that we can trust you in every situation. We pray again, Lord, for all those affected by the aftermath of Harvey and the rains and the flooding. Lord, we ask for your protection and your strength and endurance for all those that are helping to rescue and helping to rebuild. Lord, we pray that you will bring the rain and calm the fires here in Montana and Idaho. We just pray for all the firefighters that you will grant them safety. Keep them strong. Give them the endurance to complete the task. We know, Lord, that in every storm and every trial, you have a purpose. Sometimes that purpose is to grow us. Sometimes that purpose is to deepen our faith and trust in you. But in all things, we trust that you are sovereign. You are in control. You are on the throne, and you are watching over us. Father, we thank you again. We thank you that we can come here, we can worship without fear of persecution. We thank you that we can gather together in your name. We can praise you and offer up our worship and our prayers. And we know that you hear every word. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory, with great joy to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. God go with you.